Hi, Fresh Capital listeners. For those of you who are new to the show, the aim of the game is for Albert and I to pitch the business case of a company to each other, work out what we like and dislike, and if we're lucky, conclude if it's a company we're interested in. A reminder, this is not a recommendation or financial advice. This is a way for Albert and I to have fun applying what we've learned about investing from our careers and life. Always do your own research. Always make your own decisions and consult a financial advisor before you jump in. Welcome to another episode of Fresh Capital. Every week, we evaluate growing companies that are misunderstood or overlooked. My name is Dan, and I'm joined by my good friend, Albert. Albert, how are you going?
Yeah, Dan, pretty good. I've escaped my home of Sydney to come back to Canberra and stay with my parents until Christmas. It's very nice. You know, I wake up and there's croissants in the kitchen and fresh coffee. So, to be honest, I'm going pretty well. How are you?
Great to hear. A daring escape, no doubt. My brother and his wife actually came through to Canberra at almost midnight last night, which was when the shutoff would have been. So,
great timing.
For those of you out there affected by the new COVID restrictions, we understand, we feel your pain. It's all happening a mile a minute, but hopefully everyone's staying safe out there. But let's get into our episode. This episode, we're going to be discussing the pitch for Sydney Airport. Albert, I think, as we're talking before, we find this a really interesting business to unpack.
Given everything that's going around at the moment with COVID and then kind of a second / third resurgence in Australia.
Absolutely right. Sydney Airport, no doubt, is affected by some of these new restrictions. So let's just dive into a real helicopter view of the business. Revenue of $1.6 billion. This is going off the end of 2019 financials. So revenue of $1.6 billion. It's divided pretty neatly, actually, into four different categories. You have what's called aeronautical, which is about 46% of that revenue. Retail, which is about 23%, property and car rental, 15%, and then parking and ground transport with 10%. 4.4 million passengers, about 60% domestic, 40% international. And then we can get into some other numbers later. But Albert, I think maybe if we just start off with those four categories, aeronautical, retail, property car rental, and parking and ground transport, what takes your fancy to dive into first?
Look, I think it's worth diving into the retail business. I think having a quick scan of the numbers, I think retail is their fastest growing business, about 5.5% since FY15. Whereas their, I guess, traditional aeronautical services have grown less than that. So I think even though, you know, aeronautical makes up a large chunk of their business, I feel like we should dive into, you know, the retail part of the business. What do you think?
Let's start off with retail. And I think that's a good entry because I think a lot of us can understand what drives a retail business. We've all walked through an airport. You've got all those stores lined up along the side. People might have a 2-hour, 3-hour layover and they decide, hey, I'm going to spend that shopping. And that's obviously good for Sydney Airport. So now in the era of COVID, we've got less foot traffic going through. We've got some of these retailers obviously feeling the pinch. Albert, why is there a good outlook, if any, for retail at Sydney Airport?
Yeah, this is quite interesting. So despite the kind of decline in passengers because of COVID, you know, we all know that international travel has declined significantly. You know, there's no one's allowed to come into the country or unless you're an Australian citizen, you need an exemption to leave the country. I think despite those two things, you know, retail as a whole has boomed a bit because, you know, people are staying at home, people are ordering online. And now that shops have kind of come back, you know, I don't know whether you decide to do your Christmas shopping at the airport, but given the kind of premium outlets and stores that are in the Sydney airport, I'd like to think that retail is a bit more resilient to other parts of their business, which is why I think it's probably more interesting than aeronautical or car rental, which are definitely going to be driven by people who are taking flights. Retail, whilst, you know, predominantly been driven by people taking flights, there is still opportunity to grow that part of the business because they're not specifically reliant on travelers or visitors. What do you think?
Now, aren't they reliant upon travelers and visitors? Because it's not, for instance, it's not like Sydney Airport is owning Mecca or Oraton or some of these other retailers that are in Sydney Airport. They're getting their fees from the leases, and the leases are obviously dependent upon those businesses, thriving to a certain extent and being able to pay their bills, all the rest of it. So we might not be seeing the hit now as their lease contracts are still going, but if foot traffic isn't there, then the Oratons and whatnot, those retailers might decide, hey, we're not going to renew this contract or getting out of
Yes,
this contract now. And that's when Sydney Airport's feeling the pinch, and it is tied to that foot traffic.
yeah, that's definitely correct. I think you'd hope that, and I haven't seen this happen yet, but there can be some kind of pivot, and to reposition the airport as a broader retail outlet, like a shopping center or a shopping precinct, to help drive that foot traffic. And it's a combination of investment from the airport as well as the retailers. To drive that. But I think that to me is an interesting part of the business because of what you could do with retail and how you drive a bit more growth out of the business. I do agree with you because once those contracts, the lease contracts and things like that, do expire, as a business owner, I would question as to whether that's where I want to play as a retailer and where I want to allocate investment and resources versus opening shop somewhere else in Sydney.
It's a really interesting idea you bring up about sort of turning Sydney Airport into a mall. And that's because, and often we don't speak about this enough, but you look at some of the vision statements that these companies put out. And for Sydney Airport, it's about making Sydney proud is their tagline, which is very, very fluffy. But they seem to have this ideal of being very connected with the community of Sydney, very connected and engaged with the citizens of Sydney, and as they say, making them proud. And having that extra touch point of sort of being a mall would, to my mind, fit in with that vision. So that's maybe a watch this space. But just to peg us back maybe a little bit to reality, aside from the lofty vision statements, this was the November 2020 performance for traffic. Domestic in 2020 November, you had 308,000 compared to last year November. You had almost 2.5 million. That's for domestic travel. For international travel, this year you had 42,000, and last year you had 1.3 million. So it has fallen right off a cliff. For a total, I mean, if you total those up, you're looking at about 10% of the traffic compared to the same time last year. And if you're thinking of a retailer, if you're getting 10% of the traffic you did the year previously, not all of those people are buying, obviously. And one would argue that someone going through an airport fully cloaked up in masks and PPE and not wanting to touch or be near anyone, they're probably not primed to buy as they were previously. It's going to be really, really rough for retailers. And the outlook at this time seems to be we're not opening up international travel till late 2021 at the earliest. So this isn't short term. Like these numbers are going to continue for the foreseeable future. So I'm quite down on the retail aspect of things. And as we'll talk to, that infects everything else or has the same root cause as everything else. Have we about touched on everything you wanted to for retail,
Yeah, that's
Arvo?
good. It sounds like you're quite bearish, Dan. So maybe you want to fire off on aeronautical services while you're on a hot streak.
I will mention one last thing with retail, which was a source of revenue I didn't think of, but makes so much sense, and that's advertising. So when you're in an airport terminal, a lot of the advertising signs and whatnot, that's leased space from the airport to some of these companies, and so that's another source of revenue. Obviously, that relies on eyeballs walking past them. And also, it relies on advertising budgets. So, if you think of earlier on the year, I think O Media was really having a lot of trouble trying to convince people that the advertising business is going to be paying just as much as they were previously to have their signs up and be advertising to people looking to buy. And I think we've seen that a lot of companies have sort of trimmed their advertising budgets, which are affecting these companies like oOh!media, who are essentially billboard companies. So again, don't think it's looking great for retail in Sydney Airport. You're either relying on foot traffic getting into retail stores or foot traffic driving eyeballs to signage and advertisements, both of which I don't think are going to be coming back for the foreseeable
Yeah,
future. So that's a
this is a
problem.
quick, interesting point that you raise, because I was reading a bit of analysis from Bell Potter on their retail outlook specific to advertising. And it appears that all the advertising in Sydney Airport is actually contracted to one advertising agency, who obviously then contract that out
Yes.
to their clients. But it goes back to this point around retail concentration. If these the agency decides that their capital's best spent elsewhere, that's a huge contract that Sydney Airport could lose and may possibly lose, which then affects a huge top line revenue growth.
Yep. Okay, well, I mean, I'm not sure if the outlook's going to be any better when we switch to aeronautical, but let's see. So aeronautical, you might think of that as that there's charges related with the flights of the aircrafts and whatnot. It's actually tied to passenger numbers, and that's the fees which the Sydney Airport charges your airlines like Qantas, like Virgin, for use of the terminal, use of the airstrip, use of the airfield. And all of those prices go back to a passenger number. So if you think of a plane flying in, the levy that's charged on that plane is by the amount of passengers, not the aircraft itself. So when we think of the revenue, aeronautical revenue, it is completely down to that number of 4.4 million passengers that we had in the previous year. And guess what? We're not going to have anywhere near that number of passengers for the year 2020. So again, it's hard to see the upside here, Albert.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think when I look at these growing passenger numbers year on year historically, it's obviously very hard to believe that you're going to see the same amount of growth next year and even in the future years. So as that drives revenue for Sydney Airport, it looks like that revenue is probably going to drop significantly over the next, 2 to 3 years.
I mean, this is where I've heard some of the arguments of, well, we've got the Trans-Tasman bubble. We've still got travel between Australia and New Zealand. And to put that into perspective, for international passengers by place of origin, these are stats from last year, 2019, 3.6 million from New Zealand and the Pacific. But that's sort of a proportion of about, maybe I'm just adding this up quickly, of about 17 million from other parts of the world. So you've got 2.5 for the Americas, that's 2.5 million, 2.3 million for Europe and Middle East, 2 million from Greater China, 5.2 million from Asia, excluding China, 1.2 from Hong Kong, and then as aforementioned, 3.6 from New Zealand. So it is absolutely a large proportion. But when all of the other countries are excluded, it's not going to be enough. It's really not going to bring back that bottom line number that we were looking at before just for international travel.
Absolutely. And if you think about two of those biggest contributors to travelers, China, India, and then if you throw in the UK as well, China aside, India and the UK are not in a position anytime soon to be opening up a travel bubble with Australia. So again, trying to see, even with COVID, as to whether passenger traffic will increase is very difficult to see a future, for me at least. Where traffic picks up even half of what it was last year.
Absolutely. And then if you start to factor in some of the tensions in the Australian-Chinese relationship, it's probably not unfair to suspect that China won't be encouraging the citizens to travel to Australia. And I think earlier on in the year, we actually did have some of those soundings coming out from China that they're warning travelers from China to Australia to watch out for racist attacks and vilification. It's hard to quantify how much of an effect that has on numbers, but it's likely to be more than zero. So it's really hard to look at these numbers or look at these locations rather and think, where in 2023 are we going to see a growth on those 2019 numbers when things get back to normal? it's much more likely, in my view, that it's going to be the same or less. And the neat thing about Sydney Airport is you can sort of bring it all back to that passenger number and ask yourself, well, if the passenger number is going to be less, then more likely not the revenue for Sydney Airport is going to be less as well. It doesn't necessarily bode well.
Let's talk about another macro factor that's coming into play over the next 3 to 5 years, which is the construction of the airport out in Western Sydney. So for our listeners out there, they're building an international airport out in Western Sydney, which is due to be completed in 2024 or 2025, I believe. And as part of that, they're looking to redirect a lot of the international flights and a lot of the traffic away from Sydney Airport and towards Western Sydney Airport out of Badgerys Creek. And so I think when you start to visualize all the planes coming in to Sydney, right now they only have one major location to go to. But in the next 3 to 5 years, that's going to start to get split up. How do you think that starts to then look at or impact passenger numbers, Dan?
Well, you can only think it reduces it. I think a lot of talk about West Sydney Airport has been that it's going to be primarily a hub for freight. But again, when I thought of when we thought of doing this podcast, we really were wanting to take a high level view of things and just see if things are trending in the right direction. You can really go into the numbers and dive into another layer, but I think there's a benefit from taking a step back and just asking some real simple questions. And the simple question here is, do we think there's going to be more passengers in Sydney Airport when there's a secondary airport that's opening up in Western Sydney? And the answer to that's no. There's likely to be less. What that amount of less is, or how much it's reduced, who knows? We'll have to run some more numbers on that. But the fact that we can answer the question pretty simply and say there's likely to be a little bit less doesn't bode well. And that seems to be the reoccurring, or that was the reoccurring theme for me as I went through how are they generating revenue and how do I project that out in the next couple of years. Do you have anything else on the aeronautical point, Albert?
Yeah, I just wanted to bring it back to this idea of passengers. So something I like doing is a lot of financial ratios. So I look at parts of the business and then what drives those parts of the business. So specifically, we've talked about revenue growth and then profitability and then what drives those things. It's passengers or foot traffic. And so just doing a simple, EBITDA, which is earnings before tax, depreciation, amortization, it's effectively a metric for profitability, divided by the number of passengers to see how Sydney Airport is, tracking against, are they getting more bang out of their buck per passenger? And over the last, 5 years, that number stayed relatively static. They've had a slight increase, but overall it's remained about, $25 per passenger. And to me, that shows that, despite the revenue growth, and despite the increase for traffic, the actual amount of profit they get per passenger has remained relatively static. And then I think about those macro factors I've talked about and how, whether their foot traffic will decline because of COVID or because of the induction of another airport. It's hard for me to see, profitability increasing as passengers decrease, right? That's a great situation if they can squeeze more out of less. But it's hard to see that as a future trend for Sydney Airport.
And that's a great point to come up with, because there are multiple ways you can look at revenue. And obviously, even if you're generating less revenue, but you're cutting down on your operational costs, then you can actually generate a larger profit. And as I was just thinking again, big picture, what are some of the operational costs which are going to be coming up over the next few years? You've got PPE. We're going to have new levels of PPE for not only doctors and hospitals, but also in the
Yes,
airlines as
yes.
well. They already have medical grade air filters and that sort of thing, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's, a few extra bells and whistles that need to be outfitted onto each of the aircrafts to just deal with, maybe nothing more than just dealing with the angst that passengers might have about the cleanliness of the vessels. So that might be hand sanitizers, wipe downs, you name it. You might have extra staff on to deal with some of these concerns. Security, which is a big part of the aeronautical revenue that they're generating, because the airlines, what's tied up in some of those levies is, they're paying for Sydney Airport to deal with the baggage. They're paying for Sydney Airport to deal with the security. And those costs might be increasing if, you've got longer lines for security, which means you need more people to manage them because it's a slower process. You've got more checks and balances as people are sort of walking through before they're actually cleared. So it just seems to me like you can hope that operational costs go down, but there's just some big ticket items, low hanging fruit, where I go, that's going to be an increased operational
Yes,
cost.
yes. And it's so funny that you just said PP&E because I've obviously been very deep in balance sheets where I thought you were referring to property, plant, and equipment, which is one of the items recorded in the balance sheet. And again, it's worth noting that Sydney Airport is constantly going through, reinvestment into the infrastructure. They're improving efficiency, they're redoing, floors and terminals to make them more modern. And to cater to, the increased sophistication of passengers and changing passenger expectations. And I think as part of that investment, comes out of their cash or they've got to borrow it, which then further erodes kind of the bull case for how profitable and how well this organization can grow.
And on that point, I was trying to think of an analogy for it. I see it as, because in the annual report, they have, some space devoted to upgrades in the terminal. So those might be new airport lounges. It might be, I think they've got a new Tasmanian oak facade where you can take your photo in front of in the
I've
departure
seen it. I've seen
area.
it.
It's obviously all of our social medias whenever anyone leaves. But I do believe those things have value. It has value in how you perceive, your comfortability of experience when going through Sydney Airport, for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But the question is, does that actually increase the amount of passengers that you have going through? And you might think, well, yeah, if people enjoy going to Sydney Airport, then people are more likely to sort of transit through. In my traveling life, I've never once thought, I'm going to go out of my way on this transfer or transit just because I like that airport a little bit better. I'm spending maybe a couple of hours there at worst an overnight, in which case you're probably going to a hotel instead. It's something you complain about when you go to an airport and the Wi-Fi is terrible or the facilities, the chairs aren't great, but it hasn't ever
Of
affected my
course.
decision to actually travel there. And that's, at the end of the day, that's what's going to drive revenue, is whether a passenger actually makes that decision of I'm going to go to Sydney Airport rather than not because of some of these upgrades. So the way I view them is it's purely about upkeep. They're not really going to change how many passengers are coming through, but it will affect, how people perceive your airport, maybe the goodwill. But those one drives revenue and the other, in this case,
Course,
doesn't.
it's just the cost of traveling, right? All those things you've mentioned is just part of the cost of traveling. I think it's also just worth noting that, if you're kind of a B2C, so in this case, the passenger customer, all those changes may not influence your decision to fly in and out of Sydney. But if you're a potential retail business or you're trying to lease out, some of their hotel space or office space, if you're trying to work out if you're Qantas, where to put your, New South Wales or Sydney headquarters, all those things do matter because it's part of the employee experience. And so when the new airport out at Badgerys Creek opens up, if it is nicer, that is part of its value proposition and, redirecting business type customers from Sydney Airport out to Western Sydney Airport, which then further affects passenger traffic.
Well, I think the listeners can get an idea of where we're tracking with this one. If you're keeping count at home, aeronautical and retail, that's 70% of the revenue of Sydney Airport. But for completeness, let's hit off the other two categories as well. Property and car rentals, Albert, how do you see that going?
Look, it's going the same way. It's trending downwards. Property and car rentals includes airline lounges, airline offices, freight facilities, hotel sites, aircraft hangars, and so forth. And then when you think about what drives each of those things, a lot of them are still driven at the core of it by the number of passengers. So airline lounges, you're not going to increase the space or the property you have for a lounge or the number of lounges if you're not getting that foot traffic. Airline offices, potentially, but given everyone's working from home, given all the kind of big cuts and outsourcing that's happened at Qantas, given Virgin's privatization, but they're based in Queensland, so I guess it doesn't matter too much. I don't see any of these things trending upwards for Sydney Airport. All these downward macro indicators point to a reduction in price for Sydney. And then parking and ground transport, again, this is quite basic. It's transport services for passengers and staff, car parking, revenue from taxis, revenue from buses and limousines. And again, a lot of that stuff is driven by passengers. You're not going to park in Sydney Airport unless you're dropping someone off or you're coming to pick someone up. You're not going to take a taxi to and from at the moment unless you've, again, dropping someone off, picking someone up, or you happen to be one of the lucky few Australians who've returned home from overseas. And even the very slight increase you could get from, domestic travel, with the oscillating swings of COVID, that's quite volatile and difficult to predict and say it's going to be a constant stream of revenue.
Absolutely. I think going back to the previous lens we had about, well, if you can't boost the amount of the numbers so that you have higher revenue, can you look to cut costs? And on the property and car rental side, I found it interesting. Well, what are ways that they've tried to cut costs in the past? And one of them is, installing cameras inside the hire car facilities that take photos of your car on the way out and on the way in. And that way it takes a essentially a condition report of your car to reduce the amount of negative claims that they might have for, if you bump into something or damage the car, damage the vehicle. When you think about that's the way that they're cutting operational costs, you get a sense of just how small that would come out on the balance sheet. The thousands of dollars you're getting from saving on someone, damaging the car and then getting on a plane and getting out without you realizing it is going to be so infinitesimally small compared to just the amount of revenue you're losing from the lack of traffic coming through. You could argue parking and ground transport, that's really just domestic travelers for the large part of revenue. If you think of parking, no international traveler is going to have a car to park because they don't live in Australia. If you're parking your car over a couple of days in the airport, that sort of thing, you're almost assured to be a domestic traveler. The response to that, though, is domestic traveling is still down. You have restrictions in Sydney at the moment, which has cancelled a whole heap of flights right before Christmas. It's not out of our minds that that could happen maybe one or two more times before the vaccine is completely rolled out. So again, it's a downward trend, unlikely to have more passengers or more revenue coming through. So where does that leave us,
Well, look,
Albert?
it's pointing to a very negative outlook for Sydney Airport. I guess my question back to you, Dan, is, we're both aligned on that this is heading towards a downward trajectory. It already has, and it may not continue upwards. It may just continue downwards. My question is this already priced in?
It's a good question. And I think to a large extent, you can expect that at the very least, sophisticated investors have priced this in. And you, I think a lot of people comment on people like Warren Buffett in the American context getting out of the airlines. That's probably no better example of an institutional investor who's probably taken a good look at the back end of some of these companies and some of the factors that we've talked about today. Whether it's priced in sufficiently or not, my overall thesis when I look at shares like this is, what's the next 5 years going to look like? And the analysis so far seems to be that it's going to take 4 to 5 years for airport traffic and some of those markers we've talked about to get back to where it was in 2019. And if you're looking at that amount of lead time, where it's very likely the airlines are going to be making losses on their just annual revenue, I think you're just going to be piling up the debt, piling up the debt. Unlikely you're going to be giving out dividends. 2020, they've already nixed the idea of giving out dividends. So for those of you who have invested in, well, I'm not going to give a recommendation, but I'd say, just looking at the long-term health of the business, if you think it's going to be 2030 when they're picking up, the question I would have is, well, are you better off investing now or holding now or coming in around about, 2024 or so, when they are actually going to be back to 2019 numbers? And I think that's where my head is at the moment.
I think if you're chasing return on an investment, you're not going to see it from investing in Sydney Airport. And so, I mean, back to these kind of profitability numbers you were just talking about and forecasting out to the future, a Bell Potter, who is a securities trader here in Australia, is only forecasting Sydney Airport to be profitable in 2022. So 2020 minus 245 mil. Again, 180 mil in the red, sorry, for 2021, and then 196 mil, which is about half of the profit in 2019 in 2022. So it's going to be a very slow return if they ever return for Sydney.
Well, I think let's finish up there, Albert. We've maybe done Sydney Airport to death. Thank you for listening to Fresh Capital, a podcast about companies misunderstood or overlooked. Click the subscribe and follow button to hear us next week. Thanks for listening.